Hello, fellow Egypts. Welcome to Taranoia, the podcast where I explore my own extreme brand of fear and insecurity and the things I do to try to get past them, though that's not always possible. I think we all have them. We're all Egypts. That's idiots or fools to our non-Irish friends. We're all Egypts, but we're all doing our best. I think we are. I have to hope we are. It's kind of what this episode is about hope. But first, a word from our sponsor, the sponsor of today's Taranoia. Are you afraid of farting during lightning storms? Well, you need Thunderpants. Thunderpants. Storms are high risk for gas passing due to fear and concentrated electricity. Thunderpants are also made of a non-conductive material, so you won't get struck by lightning, thereby reducing the fear and the risk of gas. Thunderpants. They're underpants for storms. I get the best sponsors, don't I? I get the best sponsors. Now, this could actually be not the Hope Cast, but the Crank Cast. I've been cranky. I've been feeling very low. I've been feeling... It makes me impatient and snappy, feeling like I can't really control things, like I can't make things happen. I think it's a general feeling at the moment. I think we all feel like things are sort of sliding to a bad place and we feel like we don't have any power in terms of people are getting hurt and we don't know what to do because we feel like people in high places are making terrible decisions. And is that just me? I hope it's not just me. Am I having mad conspiracy theory? Is this real paranoia? But I kind of just having chatted to a few people and I think there's a general feeling of this. So I'm going to start positive on this crank cast because I've been snappy and kind of a bit strange. So I apologize if you've come into my radar or I've come into yours while that's been happening. But look, it's just part of life. It's just, you know, you have cycles where you can stay positive. But then staying positive when you can't do anything positive, it doesn't feel great. It feels a bit shallow or hollow. But look, we'll have a look at that during this podcast. I want to start positive and say thank you for listening. There have been thousands and thousands of listens. That is so wonderful. I never dreamed that would happen. I thought there might be my mom and Carl. That's one of the reasons I brought him in. I knew he'd listen to his own episode. But thank you for listening. Now, listen. You are listening. I've just thanked you for listening, but thank you for that. There have been thousands of listens, but only 47 reviews. Now, honestly, I'm not asking you all to do the Patreon. It'd be great if you could, because it'd be lovely for this podcast to sustain itself, especially if you've been enjoying it. If you found you've been back a few times, you listen to it a lot. Could you throw it a quid or two? That would be lovely if you could. I know not everyone can, and some people have been buying the book, Rage In, instead. So listen, thank you for any of the support. It really means a lot. But even just the listens are great. If, I'm going to make you work, I'm going to make you sing for your supper. There's no such thing as a free podcast. So I'm going to give you some homework, please, if that's okay. If you can't contribute to the Patreon, if you can't, and that's okay, don't worry, this is basically free. I'm going to give you some homework, which is to review the podcast on iTunes, which is where most of you seem to be listening to this. But you're welcome wherever you are. If you would review it, please. You can say something nice like, I like this. I know there's going to be some bright sparks like the people giving it one star. Thank you for listening. Hate listening is just as good. Thank you for the clicks. I would like you to put the word handy into the review. Yeah, like this is grand, take it handy. Or... it would be handy if this was not anymore. Now, I'd prefer that you didn't go for the latter sort of snark. As we all know, snark is one of the reasons we're all so depressed these days. I know I am. Down about this kind of bullshit. I'm turning to fat and sugar to keep me up. I heard a man on the radio during the week and he was saying, you know, I'm fine for going for solo dinners or nights out. I'm grand to go for a pint by myself. I'm grand to go and buy a meal by myself and eat it and, you know, give myself a lift that way. But I'm ashamed to get dessert when I'm by myself and I'm not on a date because it looks a bit sad. Sir, I could not think of anything happier than a man enjoying dessert on his own, reveling in the sugar and fat that are keeping us all going. Now, if you're diabetic or or you have a fat repulsion, then maybe having dessert isn't a good idea. But honestly, it's one of the small things in life that we have. I used to hate when I was a waitress. I used to hate when women especially used to do it. So it's interesting to hear a man saying it. But women would say, oh, I'll be so bad. Oh, I shouldn't, but I will have to. You should. You should have it. Now, I'm not saying have it for your dinner or replace dark green vegetables with it, but have dessert. Things are crappy right now. You need dessert. You need a few treats, small, affordable things. Make pavlova, not war. That's what I'm saying. Make pavlova, not war. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It's 7 in the morning right now. I'm going to have my first sip of tea of the day. There you go. Oh, a small pleasure. There you go. That's the cup. It's a very big cup of tea. Small pleasures getting us through. And small kindnesses are what are going to get us through. And then, so it's strange when my snappiness and crankiness right now are making me push away the small kindnesses. Do you know that kind of way? Has that happened to you? Yesterday, a man, I was at a coffee shop. No tea yesterday. It was full caffeine day. I needed to push through. This man held the door open for me. And I know he was trying to be chivalrous and all of that. Now, I think, you know, whoever gets there first holds the door open, especially if someone has their hands full or, you know, it doesn't matter what your gender is. So it's nice to have the door held for you, no matter who you are. And it was nice to have the door held for me. But this guy had pulled open a push door. And so it was all a bit precarious and he was having to hold it back with one hand. So him saying, go ahead, meant I had to go under his arm. So this led to a kind of situation where I was having to sort of limbo dance under his armpit and it felt a bit strange. So I said, thank you, as he let me go. But then as I went under the armpit, I went, weird. And he'd then give me a weird, dirty look. And I made it all awkward, but it was already awkward. You see, it was already awkward. And I felt like I was just naming it and it was involuntary anyway. It was weird. So I just said weird. It came out like trapped gas. You'd need your thunderpants for it. But it came out and I limbo danced under his arm. Then to redress the balance, as I came out, he had been a construction worker. He had his hard hat under his arm. And that was another reason I wanted to hold the door open for him, was he'd been obviously working very hard physically, needed his coffee. So his colleague was coming in when I was coming out with my coffee. And I opened the door for him and he said, oh, thank you. And I went, I should have just done that. Just said the thank you. Didn't have to add the weird, but it slipped out. We're all humans. We're all idiots, right? So that was an idiot-y thing, but I tried to redress the balance by doing something nice. So now this podcast is called Rar, and Rar is a sound that I make pretty regularly. So I'd love if you wanted to do it with me now. Rar. Do it. Even if you're on the train, do it. Rar. Rar. You know, kind of like a lion who's only had their first sip of tea. Rar is basically about how kindness and politeness are, of course, brilliant rules of thumb. They're how we should live our lives. They make us feel better. They make other people feel better. And we've got that gives us a little bit of power back. Being able to do something nice for somebody else that doesn't cost anything and that doesn't take anything out of us. But kindness doesn't have to mean meekness or mildness. Love doesn't have to mean being a pushover or being so gentle that you allow bad things to happen. So I'm talking about things like the bomb scares this week in the US. I don't know when you're listening to it. It might have been a couple of weeks ago, but the bombs found in all the Democrats' houses, the Trump critics' houses. I'm talking about the rise of absolutely visible, overt racism, including in our own presidential race. I'm talking about trans panic and hatred for trans people based on generalizations or the actions of one person being applied across a whole group when people are just trying to live their lives. That's the stuff that's making me personally ratty and impatient. I feel like I can't address that, or that it's becoming so overt and normalized that it's pointless. That even if we all deal with each individual case of it, that it's not going to be enough because the people in power at the moment are letting that shit happen. And it was depressing, frankly, to see it happening here with a presidential candidate using far-right Trumpism bullshit, fake news. Fake news is the most depressing phrase that's happened in the last few years because it means people don't know which way is up, that they don't know what they're reading or seeing is true. it used to be, honestly, I mean, there, every person in the media has their own agenda and everyone sees the world through their own personal lens. Everyone has their own goals when they write something. But it used to be that you couldn't write lies. It used to be that they wouldn't get published in a national newspaper. They wouldn't get published. They wouldn't get broadcast on the radio. And I don't blame the far right for this. I blame the people who say they're in the middle, but are actually right leaning, because they're saying that what the people are saying is fine. It's fine, even when we see a rise of violence. It's fine. It's two sides. Even when we see one side is calling for the removal of rights of others. Look at Roe v. Wade attempting to be rolled back in the US. We've just fought so hard for our reproductive rights here. We're not all the way there. Please contact your TDs about the right legislation. But it's so important that we do step up. I was doing a talk in UCC and it was a young American girl. We were talking about repeal and the, you know, the situation here. And she said she felt completely powerless in the US, that when she'd go home, she felt terrible watching news from home and she was wondering what to do. She was genuinely upset. And we're hearing a lot of this out of America, that on a state level, people are, the restrictions on abortion clinics are meaning that they're all but closed down or inaccessible to people. And then the people are having to travel out of state. It's back to a situation like here where only the rich could travel. And that's just not, it's just not workable. It's about control. It's about telling people that they are only reproductive machines. And I said to her, you see, the thing is, we're always going to be going in a cycle. At the moment, Ireland is, although we've lots to fix here, we'll get onto that, but we're always going in a cycle when it comes to rights. There are always going to be rich, powerful people who want no one else to have rights but them. And they're going to whip up things like trans panic. They're going to speak about travellers in presidential campaigns because they want us to fight with each other or to focus on an other rather than on them, the people actually squeezing the shite out of us. So rar, say rar. And what I said to that American girl was, the legislators will always change. It will depend on who's in power and making the laws. So at an election level, you have to make sure that people are going in who, I mean, almost all politicians have to bow to the system. They have to, once they go in, they often change their policies. We know this. We can't get depressed about it. We have to pick the person we think will do the least harm, I guess. Is that the best way? I don't know anything about politics, so don't come crying to me. But this is my thoughts on it. Legislators will change. Laws will change. But we have to keep fighting for rights and for other people's rights. There's been a whole amount of talk about racism here in this country as the far right ideologies start to take hold and Trumpism. Bullshit. Somebody asked me to a talk in Cork where there was going to be people who talk about fake news talking. I'm not going to go to a talk like that. I'm not going to go to a talk where people are just vehemently anti-vaccine. I understand people have worries when they've got kids and they want to do the right thing by them. But talk to doctors about that. You talk to people who have actual expertise in the area. Don't listen to this bullshit about elites, expert elites. It's, people are experts in their field because they've studied it, they've lived it, they've talked to people going through situations all the time. So don't sit there, you know, tarring all academia. Academics are a bit boring at a party sometimes. Some of them are fascinating. I'm a bit boring sometimes. We all have it in us. But it doesn't mean they're sneering and snooty. The people who are doing them down in a general way are the sneering, snooty shitheads. Sneering, shooty, snooty shitheads. Sneering, snooty shitheads. Try saying that three times in a row after a margarita. Margaret, bet you can't. But sometimes anger is justified. I'm being told to listen to these people who are sneering and telling you not to listen to experts, and that news, that putting out fake news and then saying that the real news is fake. They're bullshitters. Call bullshit. Go rar. Say rar. Rar. No, that's not true. No, you're trying to harm my friend. No, you're trying to take my rights away. Fuck off. And then they go, oh, rude. Yes, it is rude to say fuck in general. But sometimes what you have to say is fuck. You say rar, say fuck. Sometimes you have to push back. It's something Carl always says. You know, he's no angel, I'm no angel, but he's great on this stuff, on personal boundaries. If someone is coming at you for the colour of your skin or your gender or whatever it is, it's okay to push back. You don't have to punch back. Not initially anyway. If someone punches you, I think that's a reason to, or is advocating for punching you or putting you into concentration camps. I think that's a, I'm not a punching fan. I don't even like it in boxing rings. I'm not a punching fan, but honestly, if someone is aggressing you in that way and saying that your rights should be taken away, that you don't really exist, I think an old punch is kind of, well, it might be justified in those cases. Not advocating for it. Just saying, once I have my hurl, if you give me a reason to use it, I'd be so shit with a hurl in my hand. Oh my God, I'd be so terrible. But what I'm saying is action. I'm advocating for a new word. You can't just be angry and outraged. They enjoy that outrage. Those sneering people, that's all they do is snark. We talked about that before. They snark on the internet. They are outraged. But they don't take action. They're outraged on behalf of themselves. They're outraged because you won't debate taking other people's rights away. They're outraged because you're saying that you should deplatform fascists. And honestly, you should. You know, there are certain old ideas that we don't need to hear out. We've talked about that one before. What we need to do now is get angry in a way that spurs us into action. Action. Huh? What do you think? Is that a good word? It's a terrible word, but it's what rar is the sound of. Rar is the sound of not getting bitter, not turning the anger in and feeling powerless, but saying rar and going out there and making a small change. Now, it could be holding the door open for a construction worker, redressing the balance of your own saying weird earlier. It could be joining an advocacy group or volunteering. It could be donating. It could be having a conversation. Let's say someone is being verbally abused on a train for their race or whatever else it is. I've seen this happen. It happened to me. And I was one of the people who didn't want to say anything. I was too afraid. There was a man who was doing the verbal abuse. He was abusing a woman, clearly a Muslim woman. She was wearing a veil. She had two kids with her and she was very heavily pregnant. And I didn't want to do anything. I was so scared. He was so aggressive. I was afraid he was going to hit her. I was afraid that if I intervened, I might escalate things. I didn't know what to do. And then a young man of colour stood up. He intervened and said, "Stop it, leave her alone." And then I felt really ashamed of not having intervened. He didn't listen to the young man of colour. And then I did stand up. And it took someone who looked like this man for him to listen at all. And he was, you know, he wasn't what one would, you know, if you were casting a movie, you wouldn't class this guy as the racist. No tattoos, no shaved head. He had a beard and glasses. He was very neatly trimmed facial hair and hair. That was a terrible sentence. But anyway, you call the grammar police for me, grammar Nazis. But I'm talking about actual Nazis. He was verbally abusing this woman because he had been sitting in her seat. She had the proof. She had the ticket. There was no one on the train. There was no guard on the train. So she said, "Here you go, sir." She was very cheery about it. She said, "Actually, that's my seat. Here's my proof." And he told her to fuck off and he called her all kinds of racist names. It was really shocking. She was in shock. She was holding back tears. She came down the carriage and somebody moved so that she could have a seat with her two kids. And he follows her down the carriage and starts telling her to go back to her own country. And he's leaning right in. She is starting to cry now. I was afraid. She was so heavily pregnant. I was afraid she was going to give birth. And I didn't know. I was in shock, honestly. I was in shock too, which sounds very lame, but that's what happens when someone's being that aggressive. So the young man stood up and then I stood up and I said, "Don't talk to her like that." And he said, "Where are you from?" And I said, "It doesn't matter where anyone is from. Don't speak to anyone like that." He got really angry at me. It was terrifying. My heart was pounding. But I went and found the woman. It was only the poor trolley woman who was there. And she was just as scared as we all were. But she went and got the driver. The driver stopped the train, called ahead to the guards, and the guards were waiting on the platform at the next station. Your man slipped off as soon as the train stopped. So somewhere in him, he knew he was wrong. He wasn't going to tough it out with the guards. He knew he'd done something bad. And afterwards, as soon as he was gone, everyone was coming up to the woman. "Do you need tea? Do you need water? Are you okay?" Because they all felt terrible Not just that it had happened, but that they had done nothing. Now, if we'd all stood up earlier, he would have been put back in his place. Because those aren't views we disagree with. That was a person abusing another person for the colour of their skin, for their faith. And we have to do more of that. We have to do more of it. We have to do it sooner. I learned a lesson that day. And RAR is really important. So the kindest thing to do there is not go, well, sir, you have your beliefs. And I believe indeed that this, perhaps you might disagree with this woman's right to exist and sit on a train without being verbally abused. No, fuck off. Stop this debating shit. When people are racist, name it. And RAR. RAR the fuck out of it. And that is, I'm not saying you need to go and punch the man. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying you need to push the man even. When I say push back, I mostly mean metaphorically. The pushback I mean is maybe I could have gone and sat with her and just ignored him. I risked escalating it, but anything risked escalating it, to be honest, because he was so irrational in his rage. And this is the thing, the rage is irrational, but if we sit with the people who are being raged at, if we stand with them, if you have a Twitter account, still say online that you stand with trans people or that you won't brook have any truck. Do people still say truck? You won't have any truck with racism or anti-traveller nonsense from people who want to be public representatives. Say it. The time has come to show ourselves. We've got to say it earlier. If a newspaper prints one of those horrible, disgusting, hey, well, maybe both sides have something. No, then you know you're looking at someone who is leaning so far right that basically they're toppling over. Because it's not okay what's happening. And we have to say RAR. And kindness and love are not about sitting and going, well, I suppose everyone, that's not kind. Kindness is saying fuck off to the people doing it. Say RAR if you don't want to swear. I was listening to Mona El-Tahawi during the week and she's an incredible woman. She punched someone who groped her in a nightclub last year. And so many people wrote to her saying, I wish I had done that. If more people did that, and again, I'm not a fan of punching, but Jesus Christ, then maybe people would be afraid to just have an old group. We've been polite for too long about all these things. We've let bullshit seem normal and we can't be doing that anymore. And don't bother trying to debate me on this. I've said all I have to say on it in this podcast. Say RAR, push back. But push back especially against those lads who say they're in the middle, who say they're centrist. That's not really centre. Ah, we see you, lads. RAR, we see you. You're the reason that we are where we are. You're the reason that violence is escalating. And we're not having it. We're not having it. We're having Pavlova instead. Honestly, if you're able to keep your cool in the face of all that, it means you feel safe. It doesn't mean you're more intellectually rigorous. It doesn't mean you're smarter. It doesn't mean you debate better. It means you feel unaffected. Have a think about the people that feel affected. And the rest of us, let's use our empathy to RAR the fuck out of it and stand up, say something. You don't have to go up to someone being violent, but go and sit with the person they're being violent to. Call the police. I mean, I don't know if it'll do any good, but call them. At least log the incident. Stand with someone. Get them a bottle of water. There is loads of great writing on this. Have a look. There's a way to actively be an ally, not just someone who feels strongly about something, but do something. Volunteer. Go and ask what the homeless charities need. There's stuff we can do, but don't just sit there internalizing the anger or giving out about it online. Go and do something. And then have some Pavlova. Yay. And my last thought on this, it's not brave. Those people saying what we're all thinking, we're not all thinking it. And we just have to show each other that there are more of us not thinking racist or homophobic thoughts or transphobic thoughts or classist thoughts. There are more of us not thinking those things. It's not brave. We're not all thinking it and we just have to show ourselves. And by the way, loads of people are going to say, oh, that wasn't a funny podcast. You're so humorless. I am. I'm humorful. You know what else I'm full of is trapped wind. And it's getting to me. It's annoying me. I need my thunderpants. Maybe my thunderpants would coax out the wind. I suppose it's better than it being blowing all over the place. But I'm not humorless. I just have boundaries. And I'm not going to apologise for the boundaries anymore. So there. I made a little list about what to get angry about and what not. So there's two sides to this list. What to get angry about, what not to get angry about. Get angry about homelessness, hospital waiting lists. Do something about that. Go and talk to your TDs. Make sure they know how you feel when elections are coming around. What not to get angry about? Refugees asking us to give them a bit of a place to stay. Thanks. Get angry about rip-offs and formulaic TV or art. Don't get angry about whether tissues are called man size or not. Call them binky boo snot rags for all I care. Just don't get fucking angry. Place your anger in the right places. Place your anger in getting angry about sexual assault not really being a crime here or anywhere. Don't get angry about the tissue size. And if calling them person, whatever the fuck they're going to call it, person tissues, who gives a shit? We're all people. Even you. Be angry about the fact that certain chocolate bars have been discontinued or certain crisps. Don't get angry about other people's genitals and what they do with them. Get angry about them not renewing your favourite TV show. Don't get angry about there only being 6 talk show guests in the world, in the entire world. Those 6 people need work. They'll be on all the TV shows and no one else will. All the talk shows. But don't worry. Don't get angry about that. That's not worth getting angry about. Get angry about people who don't pick up their dog poo. Don't get angry at the dogs. Get angry at the word snack. It's a terrible word. Oh, it's a horrible... Can we find another word for it? Bite bits? Food previews? I don't know. But just not snack. Don't... Ugh, it's a horrible word. Sounds like someone chewing really loud. Don't get angry about free snacks, wherever they come from. Don't ask, is there gluten in it? Just eat it. Not if you're celiac. Don't do that. That would be silly. So if we got that, don't just be angry in a vacuum. Take action. Take action. Make yourself visible. Did a talk in Manchester during the week and it was about repeal and grassroots movements. But honestly, it can apply to anything. Brexit even? Maybe. If you show yourselves and you remind your politicians that they work for you, they do work for you. We all seem to forget that. And we're too fucking polite. Don't be polite anymore. Don't just assume they'll do it through debates in Westminster. Get out there. Get out there. Get out there and campaign for your sisters in the north. We're going to try and do that down here. But yeah, Britain, British women do that too. British men, for that matter, do that too. Let's all stand together. It's going to be grand, but we have to take action. Cynicism leads to inertia and cynicism has replaced intellect. Meanness now seems to mean that you're smart. No, there's so much gaslighting on a personal level. Oh, she was crazy. She kept saying I was cheating when they were cheating. What the fuck? Let's not let them gaslight us. There aren't two sides in all of this. There's one side. There's a side which is for people's rights and there's a side which isn't. Rawr, rawr. Oh, that was great. And oh, saying fuck is so, it's so enlightening. And that's another thing Mona does. Mona El-Tahawi says that profanity in the face of acts or an overarching attitude that are profane isn't the worst profanity. Oh, she's great. You should check her out. Check her out, Mona El-Tahawi. She's absolutely brilliant. Basically, it's all about taking personal responsibility. Don't wait for someone else to do the thing. And then have your pavlova. Don't forget to put on your thunderpants. You never know. Okay, one man, one person. See, saying person doesn't mean he's not a man. I'm a person. Yeah, so is Barry. Now, Barry sent me in a conspiracy theory. Most people on buses are extras. Big transport fills the buses with extras to boost passenger numbers and keep government funding. Casting directors should check out buses. In case there's an actual passenger on board, code words and phrases are used to distract people, like, fierce mild out today and sure aren't we lucky. Barry, I think you're right. See, I've thought this since, not extras, but robots. Since I was a kid, I used to read Misty Comic. It was kind of sci-fi and ghost stories for girls. I'm sure boys used to read it and non-binary people, I'm sure, read it. Like, it would be things like you'd travel through time when you were cleaning an old grandfather clock for your nan, or, oh, there'd be all kinds of mad ghost stuff. And then there was the odd sci-fi one where this girl would discover that her parents and everyone in the world except her had been replaced by robots. Sort of like Stepford Wives, which is how people seem to say we should be, especially women asking for anything. Be polite, be mild, be meek. No, rar, fuck off. Rar. But so that everyone had been replaced by robots except her for some reason. Kind of the reveal was that they were all robots, so we never really got into the reason, except that the world had ended and some kind patron really wanted her to feel like everything was normal, except everything wasn't normal. They were all robots, and I can't even think about the maintenance of all that. So Barry's saying that's kind of like that on the buses. They're all extras. This is a good conspiracy theory, because I always feel like the odd one out in the bus. I always feel like everyone's looking at me, not in a kind of a who's that kind of way, but in a kind of a, look at what she's wearing. Who's that fool? So Barry, I'm down with this conspiracy theory. And I'm going to, if I am ever casting a sketch or anything again, I'm going to go to the bus to do it. You there, sir. You look like you could play a racist. Except he won't. He won't look like, they won't look like, do you think? They'll look like your dad. Certainly look like my tower. It lurks among us, say rar. So there you go. That's another paranoia. And we're heading into storm season, so you're definitely going to need your thunderpants. Please do, if you feel like not listening to fake sponsors on this. I'm not looking for sponsors. I want to be able to say fuck. But please, if you'd like to support the show, patreon.com/Tara Flynn IRL. It would be lovely. Even a couple of euro, if you think this is worth paying for, you might. If you want to listen to it for free, that's okay. If you bought the book, thank you. If you bought Rage In, and that's the other thing, Rage In, it started out as an exploration of things I was fake angry about during the week, and then as things got really bad, I thought even fake anger wasn't really helpful. So instead of seething about things in satirical ways, I'm trying to get out and do stuff. Rawr. So thank you for listening. Thank you all the patrons. Oh my God, thank you patrons. You're so kind. You're so good. Thank you all for listening. Every listen means something. Every star, every rating. Honestly, it keeps us relevant. And if we can't be rich, let's be relevant. Isn't that the way? It's time for a Flynnspiring. Thank you to Brian for bringing in the music. Never look back unless you're reversing. See, you see a lot of posters with never look back. And I think that's a good rule of thumb, except when you're reversing a car or reversing anything, even if you're walking backwards or skating backwards, at some stage you have to look back. There are other people in the world. You could hurt them. And just never looking back is a bit stupid. You might also miss things. So when you're on the bus with the extras, you need to look back to see what they're up to, what they're plotting. So never look back unless you're reversing. Or if you're on a bus filled with extras. Thank you, fellow Egypts. See you soon.
This has been a production of the Headstuff Podcast Network.